Hello, hello, and welcome to all of you beautiful souls tuning in today to the Heart of the Soul podcast. I'm your host, Amana, and I am so happy that you're here. On the Heart of the Soul, we remember what it means to be wild women walking upon this earth. We share our stories and honor how they inevitably shift and change over time, and depending on who we're talking to. This is a space for story medicine, an opportunity to practice using our voices and the ancient ritual of storytelling. These stories are an opportunity to experience a deeper understanding of one another and together learn to support each other on our unique paths in this life so that we can all feel more connected and less alone. I hope that you receive wisdom as well as deep heart and soul connections as you soak in these stories today. Today is September 4th, 2022, and I'm down here by the river. As you can see, you might see some people passing by behind me or hear the leaves rustling on this tree above me. This beautiful, beautiful tree here. I am here taking the time while I have it to record a couple of different episodes. I am now going to attempt for the fourth time, I think this actually might be the fourth time, to record this episode for you today, which is going to be a like mini share of all of my birth stories. I have shared my birth stories on, I think, four different podcasts before, but they've never been within an hour. And in the next few months, I have been invited to speak on the Free Birth Society podcast or to record it. But all her episodes are within an hour. So I thought, what a great way to practice condensing my stories into 1 hour than to do it here with you all. And I still would love to circle back. I haven't shared all of my birth stories in full. I would love to do one episode on each of my birth stories, or at least on a few of them, but I have not. So I have gathered nearly 40 years now. I have 5 pregnancy stories, and I have 2 living children. So some of these stories are going to also involve death, early birth, miscarriage, as well as my live births. And those births that have, where my babies have continued to live and grow. So for me to start with my draw and pull towards motherhood, I knew from when I was a baby, when one might call me a baby myself, when I was 1 and 2 years old, I was trying to take care of my next door neighbor who was 15 months younger than me. I just always loved babies and learning how to mother. I loved being around mothers. I used to take the parenting magazines from my pediatrician's office when my mom would take me to the doctor and would read about the development of babies and children and how to care for them and all sorts of things. I started babysitting at a super young age. I just have always been called to serve mother and baby, the mother-baby dyad. And I thought that I wanted to be I wanted to be a younger mother. I really wanted to have babies in my 20s, but the way that my life unfolded, I found myself at like 31 years old, having no children and no boyfriend, no relationship. I took pause in that moment, and I felt into the possibilities of both, of perhaps finding the father of my babies that I felt were there. I felt soul babies around me. I felt like they were there. And I called out to universe and said, and to these soul babies, and asked that they help me find the father of my children. And that if that didn't happen, that I would embrace my life as a single woman and perhaps mother babies and children in different ways in my life, maybe adopt someday. But first, I put this big call out to universe. I did a 40-day ritual asking my husband, the father of my children, to meet me at this festival in 40 days. And he met me on summer solstice in 2014 at this festival. He totally returned the call. We were engaged within 2 weeks and married just a few months later. And a month after that, had created our first life together. So if you want to hear the whole story on that ritual, there's a whole other episode on it. I'll try and remember to link it in the show notes here. So he returned my call. The first few questions we asked each other were like, how old are you? Are you married? Ever been married? Want kids? Have kids? And we aligned on all those. Neither of us had been married. Both of us wanted to get married. Both of us wanted kids, but hadn't had kids. So, like I said, within a few months, we were totally open to conception. We're feeling our spirit babies around us. We're open for them to come in. The first little spirit arrived in, I guess it was the beginning of September or the end of September, shortly after we wed. And then when I was 6 weeks pregnant, which is if you really it's 6 weeks from the start date of my last bleed, which would be 2 weeks since fertilization of the egg, since actual conception, I started to bleed and was experiencing my first miscarriage or early birth. I was devastated. I had looked forward to mothering and motherhood my whole life, and although I had witnessed some early births in my life, none of my close friends who had had children had had any. They had all had pregnancies that went from pregnant into full-term live births. So I was devastated. I was sad. We were on our way to our honeymoon. I was a mess, but it really. We went to Hawaii and I was bleeding there. Owen wasn't really sure how to comfort me in those times, but he did the best that he could. And the ocean, oh, is such healing waters. So to allow my blood into the ocean, and that one drop of my blood became the whole ocean as well. And so I processed and healed through that first early birth. And then we continued to call in our spirit babies. We had a little altar set up in our bedroom and, spoke to our baby and welcomed them and, invited them to stay and spoke things about them living and living longer than us. And that New Year's-ish, we again created another spark of life. And this time, the 6 week mark came and went. I continued to hold life inside of me. I did have really extreme nausea and vomiting, and I was working in the emergency department as a registered nurse at that time with all sorts of smells and, intense things happening around me, and I had to be on it, and it was definitely hard. I tried all sorts of different things for the nausea and almost nothing helped. The medications provided by the providers did not help. And I also didn't feel like I was informed very well about the risks of those medications. And anyhow, I chose a midwife as my main medical provider. She's a solo practice midwife. I had worked with other midwives before attending births at this time in my life, had already been attend had attended many, many births, and knew that I wanted a home birth for myself. I had chosen not to have an ultrasound. I did speak to this little wombling and say, you know, if you need an ultrasound for whatever reason, if that would be helpful, like let me know, you know, give me a sign. And when I was 6 months pregnant, I started having this right-sided pain. At first, I thought maybe it was round ligament pain. And then I started having bloody urine. And at that point, I did decide to seek medical care. And it turned out that I had a blocked right ureter. So the tube that was going from my kidney to my bladder was blocked by essentially like a globular kidney stone is what they called it. So they, you know, said that if you let this continue, you know, I had already started to, like, I had signs of an infection with my white blood cell count being high, and that if I allowed that to continue without an intervention, that I could, you know, possibly go what's called septic and die, that my baby could die, that the whole thing could happen, that the infection could spread throughout my body. So they offered me either a stent placement or a like tube coming out my back. It would be like a literal tube out like the skin of my back to drain the urine, or a tube inside of me that would help the urine to drain past the stone. So in the end, that's what I chose. I had this procedure, and I'll go into more detail about that in another episode because that's a whole other story. And after that, I did decide to have an ultrasound. And what the ultrasound showed was that this baby that was moving and growing inside of me, 6 months growing inside of me, that she did not have kidneys or a bladder. It's also called bilateral renal agenesis, and that she could not and would not survive once she was born and might not even survive the birth itself. Whew. I was devastated. I mean, I think I used that for my miscarriage, but I was like devastated beyond. Like, I couldn't even believe that this was my path, that this is what was happening, that death, this was going to be another death. And that this baby that I could feel growing and moving inside of me was going to die when they were born. You know, I had already had I had a crib. You know, had bought little baby clothes and was invested and imagining mothering this baby outside of the womb, enduring this nausea and vomiting all the time. And it was just like, oh, but it'll be worth it when I have this baby in my arms and they're alive and they get to breastfeed and all the things that I had wanted to do forever. And I found out that she wouldn't live after she was born. So that was a huge blow. I cried. I was so angry, angry at myself, angry at my husband, angry, irrationally angry, yelling, wailing. It was a real, real dark night of my soul, for sure. That same night, Owen and I decided to name this baby. We had chosen not to find out the sex until after they were born, but we chose the name Hartley to be this baby's name, whether they were a girl or a boy. And they offered that I could induce labor then, but for me, I chose to continue to carry her in my womb, and just really honor the life while she existed. And we took little trips to see different family members so that she could meet them in the only way that she ever would. I remember reading the book Blueberries for Sal while I ate blueberries and just, you know, talked to her and imagined her experiencing the taste of these blueberries through her umbilical cord, that an amniotic fluid, that is like the one way that she would be able to taste them. And yeah, eventually she labor did begin with her on a Friday night, and my midwife lovingly continued to care for me and was open to attending her birth, even knowing that she would, perhaps not live through labor and knowing that she would die after she was born. And so she did. She stayed with me and supported me, and labor started on a Friday evening and ended on a Monday morning at 1:30 in the morning. I birthed her into a little birthing pool in my living room. I had really just not wanted labor to begin, knowing that I would literally be pushing her outside of me and that then that would result in her death. Ah, that was a really big, hard one for me to reckon with. But Owen was there. He supported me throughout my labor. And she was going to be born breech, which we had known from the ultrasound. So her little bum emerged first. And when she was nearly all the way out, so just like all of her body, but like her forehead wasn't out yet, she moved. I felt her move. Owen got to feel her move. And then I gave one more push and immediately brought her up to my out of the water. She had her eyes closed. She never opened her eyes. She took a few gasping breaths and then I felt her soul leave her body, and there was no more life in this little beautiful body that, she and I had created together, that Owen had contributed to as well. I held her with me for 30 some hours, before handing her off to a funeral home person who transported her body to be cremated. The healing and grief journey from that was super intense. I felt like I was breaking down and crying at all sorts of weird places. Owen and I decided to take a trip down the Oregon coast and be with the ocean. We sprinkled her ashes, some in the ocean, some in the giant redwoods. We reconnected. We moved through grief. Although we were grieving in different ways, we found our way to intertwine and be together in love with one another, as we grieved partly our baby. So I feel like, grief is there because love is there. So grief will always be there in some way for me. And yet, it was 7 years ago, this last August, just a few days ago, August 31st, for when she was born. And I moved with the grief of losing her, of her death in different ways now than I did before. Grief still comes in waves and, unexpectedly sometimes. But my relationship with it has transformed over the years. So then, pretty much right after she was born, we were very open to conceiving again. But as my body was, I'm sure, wise, and we didn't conceive for several months. And then we did. Have another spark of life. I had this new wombling inside of me. I would have my 40 weeks for this little baby was December 29th is when I would be 40 weeks. And I was, just so excited to have this life inside of me. We had spoken to doctors about the possibility of us having another baby without kidneys, and my husband and I made sure that we had both of our kidneys because you can go through life with only one and not know it. And because we both had both of our kidneys, it was really unlikely that we would have another baby without kidneys and that she was just this special little soul that came to be with me for just that time. Even so, I absolutely had fears around the possibility that this baby might not have kidneys. And unlike my pregnancy with Hartley, I did choose to have an ultrasound with this pregnancy to check that this baby did have kidneys. I still knew that that didn't mean that this baby was going to live. At this point, had really connected with the loss community and to other mothers who had babies in spirit. And, their stories were vast and varied, and also included women who, had ultrasounds and knew that had been told that their baby was fine. And then, for reasons that will never be known, that baby died inside their womb. I also, had found a beautiful counselor who whose baby died when he was 2 years old in his sleep for also unknown reasons. So life kept teaching me that we never know, that tomorrow isn't guaranteed to any of us, that just because an ultrasound says a baby is fine doesn't mean that they're going to live another day, another year. And I just chose to really embrace life while it was there and was within me, and honor it, and hope and pray that this baby would live for years and live beyond me. We spoke to this baby being like, outlive us, like we want you to live beyond us. Like we didn't want that experience again of having our own flesh and blood, our children die before us. So I did have the ultrasound, and we didn't know he was a he at this time either, but we found that he did have kidneys. Again, I knew that that didn't mean he was going to survive to birth or through birth or any time beyond. I again chose to have a home birth with a lovely midwife. And this time, labor began in the early morning, the day after he was 40 weeks. I'd had a midwife check and came home and just snuggled with Owen on the couch. And he fell asleep, and I fell asleep, and then awoke to contractions around 2 something in the morning, I think. And I just decided to labor on my own for a while. It was gentle and yet building. And then around a little before 6 a.m., I decided to send him just a text message, so that I wouldn't wake him up. I figured his phone would be off, but knew that it was his habit to pick up his phone and look at it first thing in the morning. And so I wanted him to see the message that I was in labor and not just like hang out in bed and do whatever on his phone. That I wanted him to come out and be with me in labor. So I sent him this message, and what I didn't know was that his ringer was on. He normally turns it off, but I hate being woken up by messages and stuff. So apparently he was like, oh. He thought I was in bed next to him, and he jumped up to grab his phone and then realized that I wasn't there. But he read the message and came running out and super excited and happy and joyous to be with me. I had written out a little list of things that I wanted him to do once my labor began, like clean out the toilet in case I was puking, like give it another good scrub, clean the bath. Vacuum, set up the birth pool. So he got it started on those little chores. I had already started, I love baking bread. And so I had some bread dough rising by the fire already at that point. He asked if it would be okay if he took a shower. And I was like, yeah, sure. Contractions weren't incredibly strong at that point. I was doing things around them. Or while experiencing them, I offered to make him some breakfast. So I made him eggs on toast while he was in the shower. But while he was in the shower, the labor took a turn, and just like, I don't know if it was like his presence or what, but those contractions just like took it up like 10 notches. And all of a sudden, my rhythm was gone. I wasn't able to like move and cope with them in the same way that I had been. So I was trying all these different positions, the birthing ball, like exercise ball or whatever, different positions, different movements. As soon as he was out of the shower, I was like, I want to try getting in the shower and see if that warm water will help ease some of this pain. I wasn't like really tracking my contractions, other than just a little bit to see when maybe I would want to call the midwife, but they weren't super consistent. They were strong and getting stronger, but they were sometimes like 1 minute apart and then 6 minutes apart. And, they weren't that consistent the way midwives will tell you when they're 1 to 3 minutes apart, lasting 1 minute for over a whole hour and increasing. That's when you call us. But Owen said, "Do you want me to call her?" And I said, "Okay, sure." But I told her I wasn't ready for her to come yet. And I was in the shower and the water was not helping. I wound up deciding to fill up the bathtub. Owen was out there trying to blow up the birth pool in our living room. And after a few contractions, he was like with me during the contraction. Then he would run out and try and like get it going. And then I would call him back because I really liked him with me during the contraction. And then he would run back out. Blah, blah, blah. We were doing this little dance for a while. And eventually I said, screw it. Like, leave the birth pool. Just stay with me. And then my water didn't break it. It was soon. But then he did call our midwife again and asked her to come and be with us. And she was like, I was already kind of getting myself ready. I had hoped that my labor would be faster this time than over the course of 3 days, like my previous one had been, but I didn't expect it to be quite this quick. Because moments later, my water broke in the bath. It was this pop, and Owen, he saw the blood and he was like, "Oh, is it okay?" I'm like, "Yes, it's okay." But in my mind, I had envisioned this woman being present and really wanted her to be present. And so I was finding myself stuck in this place where if I hadn't planned for that, I probably would have just birthed him right, just moments later. But I sort of was holding on because I really wanted her to be present. And a few minutes later, she did arrive. And as soon as she arrived, she set down her stuff and she could see this little baby's head emerging from me. And within 7 minutes, he was born. I pushed him out in our normal bathtub, no problem. And held him up to my chest. He had a short cord, and so I could only kind of get him to my like upper belly. I couldn't get him all the way up to my chest the way that I wanted to. But he cried right away, which was something that Owen and I had both like spoken to this baby about, like, please just cry and breathe right away. I attended so many births. I know that there's a huge spectrum of what, is normal or possible or in terms of breathing after birth, because it's a huge transition from a baby to go from inside and receiving oxygen through the placenta to outside, where they're still receiving oxygen through the placenta, but then learning to breathe in the air. And that some babies don't breathe a lot for the first several minutes, and that's okay. But I really just didn't want to have that sort of like pause and question. And he was loud and was crying and breathing right away. And Owen ran through the house saying, "I'm a dad, I'm a dad, I'm a dad." And he was just so excited. And so I was sort of in shock. I just didn't expect him to be born that quickly. And because it happened that quickly, I felt like I sort of went outside of my body a little bit. And it sort of settled throughout the day. He was born at like 7:46 a.m. So we had the whole day with him there. And he was a boy. I totally thought he was going to be a girl. I think I partly was wishing for a girl because Hartley was a girl. And it took me some time to adjust to him being a boy. Of course, I was so glad that he was there. But I had this expectation that he would be a girl. But I was just so happy that he was breathing and I wound up birthing my placenta right there in the bathtub. And I moved to the bed, and he was an amazing little nurser. He loved nursing. In fact, to the point of like it was hard because he nursed, like, especially at night, he wanted my nipple in his mouth the whole time, all night long. So my hips, I'm still recovering from lying on my sides that much when he was an infant in that first year of his life, and mostly slept while he was attached to me. But yeah, it was beautiful and wonderful, and I was just so grateful for him. He is such a beautiful little soul. We wound up naming him Odin Bear because we called him Little Bear for the first couple of weeks when he didn't have a name, and then settled on the name Odin. I'm Scandinavian, and it felt like a good name. Owen and I definitely like didn't agree on most names, so. And actually, Odin is one that we circled back to. So that was sort of fun. It's been quite a journey each time naming our children. Yeah. And then when he was around a year old, I unexpectedly, like, I had been tracking my cycle and we had been, aware, like, we knew it would be okay if we did get pregnant, but we were mostly trying not to conceive. And unexpectedly, I did conceive. We did make them create another life. So, and the beautiful, what I thought was so beautiful and magical about this was that when I looked at my last menstrual period and looked when this baby would be 40 weeks, she would be 40 weeks on my birthday, November 20th. And I was like, oh my gosh, that's amazing, because I was a baby who was conceived on birth control. My parents were not planning me either, and yet I came on through. And now this little being came on through, even though that we weren't, expecting it. And she was due exactly on my birthday. Like, I could never have even planned that. We didn't know she was a she, but I really thought that she was, and hope that she was. And yeah, that pregnancy went on. My son was still nursing a lot, so that was a little bit uncomfortable and hard at first, some sensitivity in my nipples and things. And I was just really exhausted. And I chose to do the maternal blood test at 10 weeks that would be able to tell us the sex of our baby. And then, when I was 11 weeks pregnant, before I would receive those results, I started bleeding and I had an early birth, another early birth, of what we later found was a little girl. So we named her Nyla Rose, and we buried some of her blood and placenta and things out back under a plum tree and in our Hartley garden and with some roses. And it felt really good to commune with her in that way. Her birth was so much more painful than I would have expected at 11 weeks. One of my dear friends, Jessica, came, and she is a midwife, but she midwived me through this birth. She was so compassionate and, like, she has three kids and a husband, and yet she came and was with me and held me and nurtured me. And it was just really, really beautiful. So that was Nyla. I forgot to mention, I wanted to mention, maybe it doesn't make sense to circle back now, but Hartley, before Hartley was born, after we knew that she wouldn't leave, I had the most incredible community of women, 15 women from my community, some here in Spokane and others in Leavenworth, Wenatchee, coming from near and far, that came and created this beautiful blessing way ceremony for me, honoring me as mother and honoring Hartley and her little life. It was just an incredible, beautiful ceremony and honoring of birth and death and holding it all. And I've never experienced anything like that before with other people. And it just meant the world to me. And I'm so grateful to have had that experience. With Nyla, it was a little different, and I created my own sort of rituals and ceremonies around her and remembering her. And I, continue to do that with Hartley in ways as well. Hartley's middle name is Malachite, which is a green stone. I always felt her energy, this green love energy. So the color green reminds me of her. Hearts remind me of her everywhere. Sometimes people send me a picture of, an egg that they crack that's in the shape of a heart. And later I learned that malachite is like the midwife's stone. So I feel the connection to that and to her and to my serving women in authentic midwifery as well. I had friends and people that tried to support me, well, did support me in their ways, but one thing when people ask about like what to say or not to say, one thing not to say to someone who's experiencing loss of death of their babies in the womb or outside is that it won't happen again. I had many people say it's not going to happen again. You won't have another miscarriage. You won't have another early birth. And yet, it does. And actually, my next pregnancy after Nyla also ended in an early birth at around, I think it was like 6 weeks. At that point, after having, I was like, okay, is Odin my only living child? Will I get to have another one? I really wanted my children to have siblings. I really had wanted three or four children. But after experiencing so much death and loss, I was absolutely just yearning for that next child and really, really hoping that it would be a girl, knowing that we probably wouldn't have another baby after that. So gratefully, near the summer solstice, it must have been, I guess, 2019, we conceived again. I was so happy and also so scared because my two pregnancies before that had ended in death. So I had like on the summer solstice, this like another sort of reckoning with the universe, this moment where I, called out to universe and just said, please, like, if she's out there, like, bring her to me. Like, now is the time, and really called her in. And I was pregnant and right away was having lots of nausea and vomiting, even worse than Hartley's pregnancy, where I was vomiting even when I like would roll over in bed in the middle of the night. I would have to get up and throw up, or if I went got up to pee, I would then be throwing up. It was insane. I did at 10 weeks decide to have the maternal blood test again, and it confirmed my feels that this was another girl in my womb. I was so overjoyed and happy. I would have been happy had it been a boy too, but I was just no, I was so happy that I was going to get to experience or hoping to experience mothering this girl. I decided to have a free birth, a wild birth, an unassisted birth, whatever one might call it, a birth without a paid medical provider present. And Owen was pretty okay with it. He was a little nervous, but pretty okay with it. I mean, after having Odin and having the midwife walk in just 7 minutes before he was born, he like knew like we don't actually, need them there. And actually, he had been anyway, doesn't matter. He didn't take a lot of convincing, which I know some women go through that. I knew this is what how I was going to do it, and was like, "Are you going to be okay with that?" Because that's the way it is, and he was, and. Yeah, so I had been scheduled to work up until kind of the week before I was 40 weeks, and so I had my last days working in the hospital as a registered nurse. I sort of avoided people's questions about who would be at the birth. A lot of people assumed I would have a midwife there, and I decided for my own well-being and mental health, I let them believe that. Some of my close friends did know what our plans were, but not everyone. And right the week after that, so it was March of 2020, which is when COVID came out in the US and was sort of happening in Italy and whatnot. And there was a lot of fear and unknowns. I was scared. I didn't know what was gonna happen, what that would mean for me, for my family, for this baby. It made me feel, I mean, I was glad that that was the birth that I was planning, that I wasn't planning to be in a hospital for my birth, but I also knew that, something could happen that would make me want to choose to go to the hospital. And I really hope that that wouldn't happen during this birth because of all the restrictions and fear and things that were happening within COVID at that time. And I had shared her 40 weeks was on March 16th, and none of my babies had gone, like Odin was born one day after I was 40 weeks. So I thought that that would probably, be similar again. So I really thought that she was going to be a Pisces. But she continued to stay inside of me. And I don't know if it was just the happenings of the world or just who she was, but I continued to be pregnant. I did try to encourage her out one day when I was, I think I was like 40 weeks and 5 days or something. I could feel that my cervix was beginning to open. I could feel her little head there, and I touched her little head and was like, "Come on, come out." I had some contractions for several hours, but they went away. And then I really fully surrendered into her having her own time and to not try to change that at all. And again, at like two something in the morning, I forget, two or three, something like that in the morning, I woke up. And this time, not to gentle contractions like they were with Odin, but to hardcore, ooh, contractions. Wow, they were rough. I, with Odin, had been able to like have a few contractions in the bedroom and not such a big deal, kind of move through them. I laid back down with him, like trying to see if I would fall back asleep, but no, I had to get up. I got up, came out to the living room. I had created this beautiful space. I'd wanted to have a dry birth this time because both of my earlier births had been in water. I sort of wanted to experience what that would be like. So I had created this space. I had this, there was a full-length mirror, and then I had a round mirror down below so that I would be able to see her emerging if I wanted to. I had photos of both my different grandmothers and mother on the wall to honor like the lineage and the family, the mother line. But yeah, okay. So these contractions were freaking in fucking intense. They were that. They were, I was yelling fuck. I was like, oh my God, like this is intense. Like what? I, have been to so many births. I've experienced birth myself. I was trying all these different things to get more comfortable, get aligned with the birth, to just like move with these waves. I said to this babe, I said to her, slow down, like gentle, slow down, soft. But she and her fiery self was just like busting on through. So not long after, I woke up my husband and was like, oh, like hoping that maybe his presence would help, just having touch from soft touch from him and being held would help ease the pain for of contractions. And I did feel that in a few contractions, but mostly they were really hard and really painful. And eventually we did call. I hadn't had my birds photographed or videotaped, and that was just something me. I love birth videos. I love birth photography. I love photography itself. I just love birth and women. And, it's different when you're in labor and birth, like you're just in it. And I, even with people telling me the story of having experienced it myself, It's not the same as getting to witness myself birthing. And so I really wanted that for this birth. And I had two beautiful friends that really trusted birth, trusted me, and were totally okay with me birthing outside the system. And they came to be with me. They had beautiful presents. They each held a beautiful presence with them, you know, just this loving, trusting presence. I didn't feel, you know, like they were invading my space at all. It felt really good to have them there. My mother-in-law was also staying with us at this time, close to my daughter's birth, because my son, who was 3 at the time, had when we were talking to him about birth, he said that he wanted to be present at birth, at this baby's birth. I had showed him birth videos online, and yeah, so he thought that he wanted to be present, and we knew that there was a potential that when it came down to it, he might not actually want to be present. So we had my mother-in-law Sigurd there as his like safe companion, that if he chose he didn't want to be in the space, that she could take him somewhere else where he could be. So I continued to labor, big, strong contractions. And then I could feel that I was, you know, my body was starting to do the pushing contractions. And so I had someone, you know, go get Sigrid and have her wake up Odin. And they brought him out, and he was just really beautiful and sweet and attentive. And just before sunrise and 6 a.m., after holding, I literally held, I could feel her emerging from my portal, and I held her head there for several contractions. Oh, it was hurting, and I just didn't feel ready for it. And eventually, like in the birth, there is a video, you can watch it on YouTube or on my website. And I said, you know, oh, I know I just gotta let her come. And I eventually like released my hand, and her head emerged, and she did her little turn. And then and my husband was right there, my mother-in-law was right there. And then the rest of her, well, not the rest of her body up to like her belly button emerged. She had the umbilical cord, it was kind of like strapped back behind her neck. And I asked Owen to kind of get it off, but he was unsure of it. And so he helped kind of hold her up so that I was able to unloop the cord over her neck. And then as soon as that happened, her little bum and legs fell out, and I was able to pull her to my chest, and she cried. And I looked and, you know, confirmed that she was a female, my little girl. I was so happy. And that was that. I held her there. A few minutes later, I birthed my placenta into this little pie dish on my living room floor. And then everyone helped me and the baby and the placenta to get to my bed and get all comfy and cozy in there. I remember my husband wiping the blood off of my legs and feet with a washcloth. I had with Odin's birth, I had decided to cut the umbilical cord myself, the cord that connected me and him. I chose to cut it. And with Charlo, I decided to do a ceremony, a cord burning ceremony. And from my research, I knew that a lot of people complained about how long it would take. And so I got 4 of these beeswax tapered candles, long tapered candles, and had this little box. It wasn't a cord burning box. There are specific boxes for cord burning. This was not. It was just a little pretty box, and it was actually secondhand. Someone else had given me in some other way, shape, or form. And but this was the box that I chose. So we did a cord burning ceremony, and I had decided to have myself, then Sigrid, my mother-in-law, my friend Rikana that was there taking pictures, and my friend Clementine, my soul sister Clementine, Who was there doing the video. And so each of us held one of these candles and sang, "We all come from the goddess," as her cord was separated. And she was just totally awake in this time, was looking. You can see back in the video, she's just like watching the burning happen, which totally makes sense for her Aries fire spirit. Again, we didn't have a name. And for a few weeks, she didn't have a name. We tried out lots of different names. My husband really wanted to name her Charlotte. And I really love names like Winslow and Harlow and Willow. So in the end, we sort of put those two together. The Charlow created the name Charlo. And this way, my husband still gets to call her Charlie, which is like one of the nicknames for Charlotte. Her name is Charlo, and I get to call her Lolo, and she has all sorts of other fun names as well. And for a middle name, we settled on Eliana, which means sunrise, sunshine, because she was born just as the sun rose. And I also love the name because it has an E, and my middle name also starts with an E. So yeah, that, her postpartum was really hard because it was COVID. I had planned to have my mother come and stay with us for a few weeks after she was born to help with, food and laundry and caring for my son Odin, who loves her. But because of COVID, she wasn't comfortable coming and being with us. So I did not end up with the postpartum care that I had planned and hoped for, but that is life. And now she is 2 years old and a beautiful little firecracker. Some people behind me there. So yeah, okay, I kept it just about under an hour. So yay for that. And I hope that you enjoyed this kind of Cliff Notes version of all five of my birth stories. And I hope you're having a beautiful day, enjoying this shift towards fall here in the Northern Hemisphere. I hope that there's not too much background noise with these people and the leaves above me. I hope that you enjoy getting to witness nature and the beauty behind me. If you would like to learn more about the services, the mentoring, the sistership services that I offer to women, you can look that up on my website, birthingnova.love. I'll include a link in the show notes here. If you want to watch this video, you can do so on YouTube. And thank you so much for being here. And be brave, be bold, be love, be you.